Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, former LAPD Commander Jeff Weninger. He is also author of the new book, On Thin Ice, at onthinicebook.com. Retired as a lieutenant from LAPD. So thanks for being on the show, Jeff. Appreciate it. Also, we have Chief Ralph Ornelas, and he's from LA as well. Worked with the LA Sheriff's Office before he became Chief of Police. So he's worked both sides. He's been on the dark side, and then he came over to the police side. So you gotta love that. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, and they are our satellite sponsor. You know, thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since May the 5th, and we are killing it. ArrowPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com on Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at Leo Roundtable, and FishOrlandoBass.com. If you're going to Orlando with the wife, the kids, the family, I'll tell you what, you have options. You're going to let them hit, you know, Disney while you're doing a bass fishing charter with Zach at FishOrlandoBass.com, or you can do the alligator hunting, catch and relocate alligators, because it's Florida. And that's the way we roll. So thanks for watching the show. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thank you for carrying the content, Brian. Reed Dietrich, former lawman.com. Thanks to him, and also Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these other teams for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today, guys? Our first article, a main story. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. We're going to jump over to New York. New York governor calls on DHS, Department of Homeland Security, to reverse cuts to NYPD anti-terrorism programs. You know, I read the story. There's ding, ding, ding. There's flags going off. And I was right. This one comes up at the end of the article, so you'll be able to figure it out. Then we got federal judge in Texas. He strikes down a ban on firearms. Where? In United States post offices. So federal judge has struck that down, meaning you can carry in those. So, but listen to the verdict first before you get yourself in trouble. We got three Connecticut officers found to be justified in a shooting in the death of a man who fired at police first. And then we got LAPD. So this is Jeff's neck of the woods, and also Ralph's. These officers arrest a suspect after a shootout inside of a liquor store. We got a California court blocks full seizure of a murderer's retirement funds for restitution. Very educational about that. You know, if you've got retirement and you've got other people like a wife or spouse entitled to it, they're not going to let the government take it. SO releases footage of a fatal shooting involving a man that's armed with a knife in a mental health crisis. We got a family blames Texas or police in Texas after the officer violates an order and he drives the murderer to the victim's home. Crazy stuff. Body cam video shows a shooting involving an officer after a guy flees a traffic stop. So those are the stories that we have. And if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and jump into the New York one. At globalordnancenews.com is where the story came from. New York governor calls on DHS to reverse cuts to NYPD anti-terrorism programs. Now, look, even if we haven't been doing the show, right? I mean, if you're involved with the news, you know how important it is. NYPD, they're on the cusp of intelligence. I mean, their operation they've got is equal or in certain aspects surpasses what the feds have going on, in my opinion. But so when I read this article about, we've got Republican president, he's known as the law and order president. It just wasn't making sense. Finally did. But my suspicions were up on this. So this is the Global Ordnance News. I do use them a lot as a source, but a lot of this stuff, and articles are written similar to what they would do with the AP Newswire, the Associated Press, just to let you know, sometimes there's like a liberal spin. So that said, Governor Kathy Hochul is demanding that the Trump administration immediately reverse a shocking 86% cut in funding for anti-terrorism programs in New York, including crucial NYPD programs that have thwarted terror attacks in the past. So the approximately $187 million in planned cuts, and you know, that's a lot of money, implemented by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, they include a $100 million cut to NYPD, $15 million from the FD, the fire department, also a projected $13 million cut in the Joint Task Force Empire Shield. And here's a quote saying that a Republican administration walking away from the fight against terrorism in the number one terrorist target in America is utterly shocking. That's what Hochul said. And it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say Trump's Department of Homeland Security now plans no projected funding for any of New York State's 12 certified bomb squads, and that they will implement millions of dollars in cuts that directly support county sheriffs and police departments, according to Hochul. Now, the Port Authority, which runs New York and New Jersey's airport, bridges, and tunnels, they suffered a massive hit from the September 11 terrorist attacks. Of course, they're taking a $9 million cut. The funding in question is provided by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, of course, that's FEMA, and through Homeland Security Grant Program, that's an official program, and they support local law enforcement and regional Homeland Security preparedness efforts. And it goes on to say that New York agencies were expecting to get close to $220 million in the coming year. Instead, they're going to get about 30. So going from 220 expected to 30 million. And in a letter to Noam, Hochul, the governor, is demanding restoration of the cuts, along with an explanation of how federal money is being divided up between the states. And here she says, quote, "I call upon you to be transparent with what appears to be a politically motivated effort to reduce funding for New York." Ah, now we're getting somewhere. So the light bulb finally went off and she let that slip. So then it makes you wonder, what in the world's going on? You're about to find out. New York and a group of 11 other Democratic-led states, they sued on Monday in federal court in Rhode Island, and they're trying to block the cut. So there are 12 states total, Democratic states. So the light bulb should start to go off here. DHS has not responded to the criticism of the cuts of the lawsuit. But here you go. Noam has previously vowed to cut off as much federal funding as possible to states that oppose Trump's crackdown on undocumented immigration. So these are the people that are creating a huge, massive problem, and we're carrying the weight and the burden of these illegals that are coming over to the country. And, you know, it's like, you know, put your money where your mouth is. So they're putting pressure on these guys to become part of the program, not part of the, you know, part of the solution, not part of the problem. So there you have it. I'm curious what you guys think about this. You know, it kind of starts off one way, and then when we get down to the meat and potatoes, you know, at the bottom of the article, it starts to make a little bit more sense to me now. You know, we can make the same argument with what's going on with the shutdown of the government right now, and with the Dems trying to push an effort to fund, you know, healthcare and stuff for the illegals. So a commentary. I know there's a standoff between Jeff and Ralph right now. Who in the world's going to unlock their microphone first? So we got two closed mics. We can move on. But Jeff, okay, Jeff's got the short. Oh, look at that. Jeff baited. Jeff opened up his mic. Then, I mean, Ralph did. He baited Jeff. Jeff opened his mic. Ralph shuts his mic. Now Jeff's the guy with the conch. You know, you are the one with the microphone. You're stuck. Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, no worries. You know, listen, as a law enforcement professional, I have a hard time reconciling what Trump's doing. I'm a law and order guy, but in order to protect the citizens of the United States and to be able to do our jobs as law enforcement professionals, we need to be funded and as close as possible, fully funded. And the reality is I kind of did a little deep dive into this, and it's not just the Democratic cities or states that Trump is defunding. You know, listen, he's his new budget, he's reducing it by $1 billion in grant money for violent crime initiatives and hate crime initiatives, as well as crimes against women. He's reducing the budget for violence and terrorism prevention by $646 million. This is across the board. Mm-hmm. FBI, he's reducing their budget by $545 million. ATF, $468 million. DEA, $212 million. Those are going to substantially prohibit them from doing their maximum in the function that they serve in providing law enforcement services to the citizens of the United States. So I don't know how this is all going to play out. I have a hard time reconciling these numbers that I'm reading and him being a law and order president. I know it's not a popular opinion, but it just doesn't.
I got a question for you, Jeff. So you say Trump's budget. So typically these things come through the House and the Senate. So is this a budget that originated with Trump's office, or is it one that made it to his desk? That's making it to his desk from another source, like the House or the Senate.
It's his budget. It's his 2026 budget. He's, you know, his new bill reduced law enforcement grants and initiatives by $880 million. And it's, and people think that it was Biden that was defunding the police. It wasn't. He increased their budgets for state and local law enforcement by $350 million.
Biden did worse. He did worse with racial relations, and he had a huge, he did worse in my opinion. But I guess the point I'm thinking is that with everything said, we've got a serious problem with a deficit in this country. I don't expect the funding to increase with law enforcement. I mean, the pay that we're getting, and I'm retired, but the pay that we're getting, I mean, I know we're 30 seconds out from commercial break, but even the pay that we're getting, you could argue that how irresponsible it would be if we don't start doing, you know, budget cuts. So I get that aspect. I know that we'll get arguments on both sides, but let's go to our commercial break real quick. We're definitely going to be back on here, and then we're going to bait Ralph to join the conversation. Here we go. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Galls at Galls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places, especially when you consider going online. But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does it better than Galls at Galls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk. They support dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Galls at Galls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, I'm about to give you a radio code where you can go to Galls.com and you can get 15% off your next purchase. And that is Radio 15. So type in Radio 15, and that is the number 1 and the number 5 after the word radio, and you will get 15% off your next purchase at Galls.com. It's an amazing opportunity. Please use that code, and that'll let them know that we sent you as well. And I just got a pair of Danner boots. I'm loving it at Galls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, guys. And we normally associate them with the glove, but they have other options as well. And today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. They're Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, and their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue to kill for up to 28 days, ensuring that you're always protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You're going to learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, former LAPD, former Chief Ralph Ornelas. Actually, most of his time was with LA Sheriff's Office, so and he's still out there in California getting it done and doing ride-alongs, all kind of stuff. So, look, we've been talking about the defunding of the Trump administration for certain aspects of public safety. It's affecting, well, especially we started off talking about New York police and fire task forces and some other things. The governor's complaining, and Jeff weighed in, said that he'd done some research and stuff, and now Ralph is weighing in, but I want to keep this conversation going. So whoever wants to start us off, Jeff, you want to pick up where you left off?
Yeah, you know, I would just say, you know, I do the research, and listen, it doesn't cause me to have a conclusion. It just causes me to ask the question. And, you know, on our break, you know, Ralph brought up a great point that, you know, we need to hear from more people before we can have some type of any type of conclusion that we can supply some type of rationale for why we feel a certain way or why we conclude certain things. But, you know, it's about, like I've always said, and I even mentioned in my book, it's about having the tough conversations and, you know, being willing to ask the next question and not taking things on face value, because, you know, right now in the political climate, regardless of your political ideology, you know, numbers can be skewed one way or the other. So, but it certainly warrants us not taking it on face value and saying, you know, what, ask the next question. And
one question I have real quick, Jeff, is what source or sources did you use to get your information that made you question what was going on?
You know, I just kind of Googled the budgets, and I read it on a number of different sources. I honestly, the numbers that I cited seemed awfully high to me. I was like, how in God's name can you reduce by that much? So it just seemed, so what, how is that? What do we, what's being considered a reduction?
Well, I'm just questioning the source right now, because without a source, I don't know whether the information is valid or not, or what, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Google, and I don't even use, when I'm using DuckDuckGo, because even Google just paid $24.5 million that we talked about yesterday to Trump because of the crap that they've been pulling, starting with the Biden administration, and they've been going after people talking about January 6th, and also about medical misinformation. And Google owns YouTube, which is what tried to cancel our show because they said we were giving up medical misinformation because we're simply talking about the vaccine, the shots, and we're talking about the January 6th guy. So the I start with the source, and even up front, I even said with the source globalordinance.com, I even admitted that a lot of their stuff comes from the AP Newswire, which is no credit to them because it is heavily slanted. So I always start off with the source because the data, you know, is so dependent on how trustworthy and embedded the source is, you know, and these people, like you said, they do slant the data. So I, you know, going into this, I've got to side with the Trump administration. And, you know, some of these things are temporary, like this whole, all the stuff going on with the budget right now and the shutdown of the government. I know that there's a long game and a short game. This is going to be a short battle. I'm pretty sure. This other stuff, I don't know if it's just trying to make New York and some of these other 11 states feel uncomfortable to where they're going to jump on the bandwagon if they can use that pressure in order to get them to pivot. I don't know. I don't know that this is a short thing with the Trump administration, or they're really trying to do these permanent cuts that could put our country more at risk. I have a hard time believing that, to be honest with you, just given the background of these guys.
You know, if I can, politics makes weaklings at a lot of us. You know, and I don't, and especially law enforcement leaders and stuff. And we got to be careful that these politicians lead us down a wrong path. And especially when they put numbers out that sides with them on either side. And as I always said to my deputies, when I was, whatever rank I was as a chief, we cannot make the political decision. We got to make the right decision. And I pray to God that these leaders of New York, New Jersey, Port Authority, NYPD, the Joint Task Force in New York, those leaders speak up and really ask, as Jeff said, ask those tough questions to really get the true dollar amounts, what's going to happen to us. Because the last thing I ever want is to see, God forbid, as Jeff mentioned before, anything happening by terrorism in our country, which we're already having some things happen already. So, you know, politics doesn't do us well.
Well, guys, anything else on this? Are you guys ready to move on to the next one? We've got an update story that's going to be pretty. So we will continue to watch this and see how long this this goes on, and we'll bring, you know, some more information to you. But right now, we're only the story, at least from the global ordinance we're getting from the Democratic run organizations that are suing the government, trying to get that money that they want. And if they're unsuccessful, I'm curious if they're going to pivot and start changing some stuff with immigration, but we'll see. This next one here, guys, it's an update article, Tampa Free Press at tampafe.com. We have a federal judge in Texas. He strikes down a ban on firearms in U.S. post offices. I thought this was pretty interesting because yesterday I just covered an article where the L.A. Sheriff's Department is being sued because they've gotten about 4,000 requests for CCWs, you know, concealed carry, and they've granted 2 out of about 4,000. And now they're getting sued for that crap. And they're saying it's a systemic problem. I have to admit the evidence kind of would lean me to come to that conclusion. And the waiting list, there people are dropping the applications after it's been 1 year, 2 years. I mean, it's taken over a year to get the freaking interview in the process, you know. And then we covered a switchblade article because California has been banning switchblades. And of course, with a legal precedent that was set by the Supreme Court, they're saying that is considered a type of an arm and that they need to allow people to have switchblades. Because it's a tool access, all that kind of stuff. So with this one, federal judge in Texas strikes down ban on firearms in U.S. post office. You know, we are in the Northern District of Texas, and it's a major victory of the gun rights advocates. And they ruled in favor of the Second Amendment Foundation and its partners in a lawsuit challenging the federal ban on possessing and carrying firearms within the United States post offices and on postal property. The court granted summary judgment. It issued a declarationary and an injunctive relief that declared that the ban was unconstitutional and prevented law enforcement, prevented its enforcement against the plaintiffs, including SAF members. So that was a pretty interesting victory. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. It's time for a second commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to introduce Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on the primo stuff. And their M5 AR-308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we've actually joined by former LAPD Commander Jeff Weninger, the author of the book On Thin Ice at OnThinIceBook.com. Also, former police chief Ralph Ornelas, and he's actually formerly with the LA County Sheriff's Office as well. And guys, we got a pretty interesting topic here. We have a federal judge in Texas that struck down the ban on having firearms in U.S. post offices. And, you know, after we left off, I'm just getting to the quote here. And this is from the executive director of SAF. And these are the guys that filed the suit and won. And his name is Adam Kraut, saying that millions of people across the country, they visit the U.S. post office as part of their daily routine. And as we've stated throughout the case, there is no historical tradition, which is important in this case, of banning firearms at post offices, and peaceable Americans all over the country should not be forced to choose between using basic postal services and the exercise of their fundamental rights. Today's ruling is an encouraging step towards restoring these rights. So it's a good conversation to have. So commentary on this, guys. And Ralph, why don't you start us off, because you were on the commercial break, you were talking about this.
Yeah, honestly, when I read this, it kind of, you know, being from California, I have a CCW, I take it for granted. I go with my concealed weapon with me all the time. And unless it's Staples Center or places of events where they don't allow it and they have a metal detector. But I walk into the post office, have my gun with me. But I really, when I read that, I go, it kind of threw me off a little bit. How many people walk in to the post office, you know, with their concealed weapon? I don't know. California, you know, let's face it, you know, the Second Amendment's always being challenged all the time here in California. So I'd like to hear from Jeff on this.
Yeah, I was just surprised because of the reference you made to the Staples Center. Even as a law enforcement officer off duty, you can't go there and attend a sporting event and carry it off duty. Or if you're working off duty on a second job where you're providing security services to, you know, a celebrity who happens to be doing an awards show at the Staples Center, you can't carry your gun while working that detail, regardless of whether you would normally carry a gun when you're providing these protective services for this particular principal. And so applying that experience in my professional background with this, it's not shocking that you would perhaps be limited to not being able to carry a gun into the post office. But at the same time, I see, you know, Chip's point when we were discussing this on the break that, you know, if people know, bad actors know that you can't carry a firearm and that you're going to have to ground it in the event that you have one in your vehicle before going in, then you're kind of setting up a potential bad scenario. So, you know, I don't really have an opinion one way or another on this sort of thing. I don't see that the post office is necessarily something that would warrant an exception being made because there's an excessive fear of something occurring there versus other public places. But I don't know. What do you think, Chip? I mean,
well, I got the Staples Center. Do they have, if you're carrying a gun to the Staples Center, let's just say you're an off-duty cop, are they going to know?
You know, if you go in there, I believe, and you violate it, you're committing a crime.
But how are they gonna know?
A metal detector. That's my question. You have to go through the metal detector.
Metal detectors, yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So some venues here have those and some don't. And I always call ahead if I really want to carry a gun bad enough, odds are if it's in Tampa, I'm gonna know the dude that's in charge of security and I can, you know. If I can get in that way, if it's really worth the effort to me to do that. But yeah, when there's metal detectors and stuff, I did go to the fair and they've tried and I didn't know that there was going to be a metal detector and I had parked my car in BFE. Took me like 20 some minutes to get to the freaking door. And now they got metal detectors. And it's like, crap. Now I got a badge and I badged my way in carrying under Leosa and they let me in, which was nice. So I didn't have to go all the way back to my car and lose my weapon, you know? So. But yeah,
with the Staples Center, I actually was protecting a principal. So we didn't have to go through the metal detectors. We drove in the underground, you know, entrance and all that. We were met by Staples Center security, was headed by a gentleman who was actually a former partner of mine at 77th Division. He was actually a training officer of mine at one point, and he had left the department to take on this very, financially advantageous private security position heading the Staples Center security. But he was like, you will not bring a gun in here, period. And he physically watched myself as well as other people of our security team ground their weapons and secure them in the vehicle.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, they were not playing. There is no wink and a nod. It didn't exist.
So you asked me what my take is. Look, the more good guys with guns, even in a facility like this, I say that. But if we're talking about a courthouse and stuff, I'm in complete agreement that, if you're in uniform, you're not disarming a freaking cop. But if I go in there and no one but the cops, you know, need to be carrying guns or on the corrections side, if they're, you know, bailiffs or whatever, I don't want people being able to walk in and be able to carry guns in a courthouse, you know, for obvious reasons. But with that, you know, but the post office, I'm cool with that. That makes complete sense.
I mean, I'll tell you, gentlemen, in the audience, Dodger Stadium, the same thing. In 2022, I was watching a principal of a Major League Baseball. I couldn't carry my gun inside Dodger Stadium. And I knew, just like Jeff, I knew some of the security leaders that were providing security for the Dodger Stadium. Said, hey, Ralphie, you can't bring your gun in.
Hey, let me ask you this. So when you're saying a principal, because I've got a PI license too. Or were you on duty, active duty at the time, or were you you were in an off-duty capacity? Okay. So, but if you were on duty, no one's telling me not to carry, you know, a gun unless it's maybe a Fed and it's a federal operation, you know. But I'm assuming you guys would be the same way. So,
all right. No, actually, in 2022, I was retired, but I was asked to be a security for this one person within Major League Baseball executive, and I couldn't bring my gun in.
All right. Well, the memo's out on you, Ralph. So there. And Jeff told me about you before you came on the show, but apparently, the word's out. The word's gone out. So
is it one word or is it a sentence?
Yeah. I could tell you over a bottle of Crown Royal.
Okay? Or is it a paragraph?
So, good dialogue and good topic on this. Let me just say that I know we're live radio right now. We are doing two giveaways today. We're doing a Gold's gift card giveaway and also a Two Bells giveaway as well. And I'm looking for more entrants for that. I do have people entering that are not giving us an email address. And I'm talking about on the stream, they're able to type in and enter the contest by typing in the number 2 and the letter B. For the Two Bells giveaway and typing in Galls to win the Galls gift card. But they're forgetting to put their email address. So I got no way to get the card or the prize to them if they win. So I'm just pointing that out. If you guys are ready, we got another story here that's got a video component that I want to get to before we get to our third commercial break. And our second one we're going to be talking about is going to be, well, you know what, let's just start off with LAPD. I mean, why wait? You know, we know we're going to go there. Jeff's chomping at the bit. I can tell he's getting antsy. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is Butter. LAPD officers arrest a suspect after a shootout inside a liquor store. Wow.
Just relax.
Calm down.
Goodbye. Three, yeah, since three shots fired off scene, so Jefferson and I have.
This was a shootout. It's a male and female officer. We're in South LA. A 33-year-old guy, he ends up being wounded in an early morning shootout in a liquor store. You should never be in a liquor store that early. That's the moral of the story. Don't go to the liquor store this early. And this is in South LA. The gunfight happened on August the 31st. It's 1:10 in the morning, so it's really more like late at night, according to the Los Angeles Police Department. So patrol officers, they walk into the liquor store. They see the bad guy, Malik Salah. He's only 33 years old, but they notice that he has looks like a concealed firearm in his waistband. And so they go to detain him. The male officer is the one that kind of makes the move. And then the guy tries to move away from him, and the male officer tries to grab onto him. The guy breaks away, pulls out a gun. He's shooting it over the top of like racks of like food and stuff and this little mart, and they're returning fire. And so there's a shootout, you know, inside this confined area. He ends up escaping, and then the officers locate this guy a few minutes later.
Come out. Get back. Suspect is to be a male, black over black. He's gonna be running the east, man. Oh, Jefferson from right there.
Head. Hands on top of your head. Stop. Turn around. All right. Turn around.
He's been shot. And so he did get hit. The cops didn't get hit at all. And they take him to the hospital. He was listed in stable condition. No one else was wounded. They recovered an unloaded 9mm pistol. It had a high capacity magazine on the scene. So I'm assuming that he had unloaded that sucker and spent all those rounds. LAPD booked him for attempted murder of a peace officer. Thank God. Commentary on this, Jeff Wininger.
You know, it's tough to say because we don't have all the information. I found it interesting. I would have liked to have known what was the information that the officers had that led them to be interested in this individual. The video showed that he was out on the sidewalk, and then he turned around and walked right back into the liquor store. The officers stop, and when they enter, they are engaging him, and they suspect that he has a firearm. I didn't like the fact that he tried to go physically hands-on because you have the worry of what occurred. But there's a number of tactical things that we can discuss without necessarily having to know everything that was in the officers' minds. And we can do that when we get back from the break.
All right, perfect timing, guys. We're up for our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. So, guys, the founder, Stan O'Kelly, and he's got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. So if you're a chief or sheriff, reach out to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that website is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Jeff Wininger, also the author of the book On Thin Ice at OnThinIceBook.com, and former police chief Ralph Ornelas, also former commander at Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. We've been talking about a story, but real quick before we forget, we want to announce a winner. That sensational bling box that you send out for On Thin Ice. Go ahead, Jeff, announce your winner.
You bet. So the winner this week is Bob Gatto. Bob Gatto, congratulations! You're the winner of the this week's VIP swag box. And people, and if, next week's going to be the last week that we're going to be giving one away. So get in there so you have an opportunity to win it. It's go to onthenicebook.com and sign up to read the prologue for free, and you'll have an opportunity to win it.
So a question, Jeff, since the boxes are not going to be available after last week, and that does that mean like any item in the box is going to suddenly go up in value if they're no longer available to the general public? Like I'm thinking like the coaster I have right now with the bottle opener on the bottom of it, I'm thinking I could start this off at $500 on eBay is what I'm thinking, you know, but not until after next week. So I'm just saying.
You're giving it away. Ralph hasn't received his box yet.
All right. So we've been talking about the LAPD story. I know that we have pressure from Ralph to get to the video number one, but this is video number two story, the LAPD story. And this is the gunfight in the liquor store. And the cops, miraculously, they hit the bad guy at least once. And the bad guy survived. But he was, I mean, literally, we have body cam, we have a surveillance cam, we have a shootout. When the guy comes out of we got shoot up outside the store too, and inside the store, the guy's holding a gun with this, you know, with a extended magazine over rack, shooting at the cops and stuff blindly. I mean, it was a hellacious, not the kind of gunfight you want to be in, because you have very little control and you don't really even know where the shot, you don't even know where the bad guy's at, much less where the shots are coming from. And he had an elevated firing position because of how he was holding the gun in his hand. So, more commentary on that, Jeff Wininger.
Yeah, you know, whenever you have somebody that you see and believe to be armed with a firearm, it's always good to take a position of cover and give verbal commands. Now, they had the challenge of other patrons being inside the location that easily could have been taken hostage and stuff. So that can influence the decisions that you would make. But ideally, you'd want to be behind cover and hopefully get some type of compliance, with voluntary compliance, when you give verbal commands at gunpoint. You know, that being the case, when these officers exited, they ran instinctually to their police car, which isn't always necessarily a good thing to do, because that's where the suspect's going to assume that you are. You don't want to necessarily do that. And what I always would train people to do and want to consider is, if you have somebody inside of a location, you want to contain that. With two people, you can contain three sides. So what you want to do is you want to take a position of cover from a distance where you can have a visual of the front as well as both opposite sides, while the officers keep each other in line of sight, so then they're not considered separated. So now you have three sides that you're covering in the event that the suspect is going to try to flee. You know, I was actually shocked there wasn't a police helicopter overhead when they took him into custody, which would have been two blocks away. That was on 7th Ave, and I think this was 9th Ave in Jefferson, I believe. So it was just two blocks away. I was surprised there wasn't an airship overhead. But
if it would have been the county, there would have been.
Yeah. But it's, you know, but even then you saw the officer break cover, where he had a suspect that he felt was the suspect engaged in an officer-involved shooting and had fired at the police officers, and he's leaving cover. And so it wasn't... The caution and tactics didn't rise to the level that I would expect under those circumstances.
Can I just say?
Yeah, you go. But we're getting tight on time. If we're okay, going to cover that other story, so go ahead, Ralph.
I believe when the two officers entered the store, if it would have been me and Jeff as partners, or you and me, Chip, if I was the lead, I would expect Jeff or you to have your gun out. If you believe that this suspect had a weapon, it would have been a neutralizer. And that was the thing that disturbed me the most, that the female officer didn't have her gun out. That's just one of my... And then the other thing, you notice when the suspect went for his gun, his waistband, is when the other patron with the white shirt walked by her, that's when he went for the waistband. It was like a diversion, because she had to move or the other officer had to move, and that's when he took advantage of that. So there's controlling bodies, you know, outside, stay outside, don't come in right now. And they didn't do that. And I hate to criticize, but you have to.
Yeah. You know, the reality is, to put some context into this, it was 3 Adam 69, 3 is for Southwest Division. Adam is a basic car, and 69 is then the actual geographic area of that basic car. And both officers were slick sleeved. So that tells me that they probably have less tenure than somebody that would have a 2 stripes or what have you. So, and that kind of was reflective in what we saw from them.
All right, guys, We got less than 4 minutes. Here we go. Rumble.com. This is Butter. We had three New Haven, Connecticut officers that are found to be justified in the shooting death of a man that fired at police.
Put your fucking hands up. Get out of the fucking car. I will fucking shoot you. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Let me see your hands.
Why don't you do it?
Oh, shit. Okay. Don't you fucking move. Oh, shit. Get down.
Yo, 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 yo! What are you doing? Rip him out! Oh shit! Go, 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 go! Stop! Hold, hold, hold!
Get out of the car! Get out of the car! Let me see your hands.
What are you doing? Oh, what are
you doing? Don't you fucking move!
I arrived with a person like that.
You got it? You got him?
I got it! Put it in the car!
Watch his hand.
Get out of the car. Let me see your hands.
Don't you do it.
Oh, shit.
Watch out.
Don't you fucking move.
Oh, shit. Get down. Stop.
Here's how it goes down. We got a Sergeant Sanchez, an officer, and another sergeant. And, the first two officers, the officer and the sergeant from the New Haven Police Department and the Connecticut State Police had a sergeant that was working. They fired the department, issued handguns. They killed 36-year-old bad guy Jabril Conley on September the 19th, 2024. So what happened about a year ago, as New Haven Police Department Violent Crime Task Force, they are attempting to take this bad guy into custody. He's got a warrant for a federal Hobbs Act robbery and firearms charges. And so the sergeant Sanchez, the big three, the two sergeants and the officer, they are part of a task force. They got information about 5 p.m. that our bad guy Conley is driving a black Hyundai. He could have better taste in cars with a New Jersey registration plate. And so they get a hit on the car. Task force moves in and he's in a splash car wash and he's out of the car. They move in to grab him. He hops in the car. He backs into a police car and hits that, and then they kind of surround him. And I'm just going to, we're so short on time, so I'm going to go from memory on this one. So our bad guy reaches over to the console. He's got cops on the driver's side where he's at and cops on the passenger side. And notably, we've got a pretty spectacular cop on the driver's side, and we got two cops on the passenger side. He's by himself. He reaches the console, gets a gun, and shoots it. And shatters the driver's window, and the cops see him going for the gun, and they start vamoosing and getting out of the area. While this is going on, we got a cop that busts the passenger front window, and at the same time, this guy shoots through his driver's window, and then those two cops on the passenger side vamoose as well. And then the cops return fire. The bad guy's gun ends up jamming, so he only gets one shot off, and he had, I believe it was a high-capacity magazine, but he only got one shot off. And they put a bunch of bullet holes in him. As a matter of fact, we had another couple cops that joined the scene, but it says that he suffered 12 gunshot wounds, including head, neck, torso, arms, and buttocks. He didn't stand much of a chance. Even if they got to him, this dude's going to bleed out with all the holes in him. So commentary on this one. Ralph, why don't you start us off?
Well, first of all, it's a task force. And sometimes when you combine officers from different task force, they need to know how they're going to function on a felony stop. I got to be honest, what this reminded me of, April 11th, 1986, the FBI taking down Pratt and Minix. I mean, when everybody's making that stop, I mean, it would disturb me. They didn't have more distance and somebody take control to control a felony traffic stop if they knew they had a felon. And what bothered me also is that when the guy was so parked and he backed in, if you were further back, you could react to that. Then the other part is when they did back in, everybody gets out and you got people on the passenger side, the driver's side. And then you remember the video, the guy came in the front of the windshield. I mean, basically, to me, what I saw was a crossfire. We're lucky that we didn't have officers hitting each other. And I got to be honest with you, that really disturbed me a lot because, hey, listen, I love officers across the country, but you got to be disciplined and controlled on a, in a situation like that. And especially that guy pulled into that car wash, I think purposely, in my mind. And you have to take control of it. Don't let the suspect take control of it.
All right, Jeff, about 15 seconds.
No, the crossfire thing is really important. Ralph, more than anybody, would remember Mike Arruda. He was a classmate of mine out of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, and he was killed by friendly fire because of crossfire. Mm.
Well, guys, another great show. Thank you so much, Chief Ralph and Lieutenant Jeff. Appreciate it. Also, onthinicebook.com is the website to go to, guys, but another fantastic show. And I'm going to make an announcement right now about the winners. But before we do that, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rennie Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. If you want more information about the group, go to thewoundedblue.org. I support them monthly and a fantastic organization. So I see Ralph getting his paper out so we can write that website down too. So as far as the winners for the Two Bells giveaway and for the Gauls gift card, I had some people enter the contest that said that they're going to be emailing me their email addresses so that I can get them the digital awards. So I'm gonna have to go to that. I will post that on a Rumble channel under the video, so it'll be under the live video. This video I'll post the winners if we have them, and that's it. Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA, GunLearn, MyMedicare.live, SafeGuardRecruiting, Two Bells, FisherOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support, guys. We'll look for you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.